Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who's a former New Yorker, current Californian. I am Rob Cisternino. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. It's like Christmas Eve, the not Christmas Abbott, Christmas Eve, the night before the triple eviction coming up on Thursday night. We've got psychedelic salamanders to talk about and much more as we get ready for the Big Brother event of the summer on Thursday night. Very excited to be back here with all of you. First, let's welcome in to talk about everything that's going to happen. She's so pumped up for the triple eviction. If only they didn't tell them it was coming. Here's Melissa Denny. Melissa, how are you?
I'm doing great. I do feel like it's Christmas Eve, essentially. I feel like it's the calm before the storm. We're all just like, okay, we know what's coming. Let's get to it. So I am very excited for tomorrow night.
You're ready to start opening presents.
Yes, I'm ready to start opening presents already. Like, you know, forget Christmas morning. Let's open them now. Christmas Eve, it's fine.
Okay. All right. We're excited to have back here with us. Unfortunately, his Islanders did not go all the way, but there's always next year. Disappointment gets us ready to talk about Big Brother. Here's Matt Liguori. Matt, how are you?
Yes, former New Yorker on the panel, current New Yorker on the panel. We're representing all aspects of this. A couple of Californians, maybe, or at least one. Happy to be here on National Podcast Day.
Not a Cody Californian,
Rob.
Yeah.
Yes, not a Cody.
Yes,
California,
National Podcast Day.
Happy day to you.
Happy International Podcast Day to everybody out there. You know, I do feel like that earlier and earlier each year you start hearing the podcasts in the department stores. But, you know, it finally is here, and a great day to celebrate here with you, Matt.
Can't wait. Like Melissa said, very excited to get to tomorrow night. Rip that Band-Aid off and get some of these people out of this house already. I'm sick of them.
All right. And then we also have back with us to talk about everything that's going on. I'll talk about everybody's sports teams. Not a great night for her Ravens on Monday night. It's Mari Forth. Mari, how are you?
Hi, guys. Thanks, Rob, for rubbing salt in that wound.
Hey.
I was just getting over it.
Misery loves company.
I was going to say I'm happy to be here with you.
We'll distract you.
Now,
talk about some Big Brother. Yes.
No, thank you, guys. I'm so glad to be here after the episode. I mean, we're here. The season's still happening. I mean, if I wasn't on here, I'd be watching Love Island.
The finale.
But
yeah.
Yeah, the finale. But for you, Rob, I'll be here.
Thank you, Mari.
I'll watch Big Brother.
Okay.
Just for you.
I appreciate that. Good to have you back here with us as we talk about everything. We'll take your questions as well. Go ahead. And it's not too late. I tweeted out the link at Rob Cisternino. You can reply and ask your questions and get them in the show for later on. It was a night of seeing David and Kevin on the block, a little bit of a slow go. And then we got a very wacky OTEV competition. We thought that maybe we were going to be seeing Dr. Will, but Melissa, no Dr. Will, psychedelic salamander instead.
I feel like this is the takeover twist, like all over again, where it's like it starts out and they're like, this is going to be all week long, or like all every week we're going to have another takeover. And then they did it once and that was it. And I feel like that's basically what this is. I really thought that either he was going to be there for the HOH competition or he was going to be there for the veto. And honestly, I thought they might just like have a recording of him or something, but they didn't even involve him
at all.
Some
of those.
It's just odd that for each of these competitions, though, they're not utilizing Dr. Will.
Yeah, especially, well, OTEV, we always get the crazy character, so I wasn't really that surprised. But then when I did go on Twitter, people were like, where's Dr. Will? I was like, oh, yeah, I forgot he's supposed to be
part of it.
I thought at least they'd have him, like, introduce, you know, the salamander or whatever. Yeah. They, like, had the salamander on the neighbor balcony.
Is there any possibility that Will was in the suit, or are we counting that out?
I don't think it was a suit. I think it was like a puppet.
Animatron.
I mean, it usually is, but I don't know. It was like a perfect mascot type. Yeah.
I love that idea if we have some sort of masked singer where then he takes up that Also on reality TV tonight.
Something else I would have been watching tonight.
Yeah. Yeah. I really thought they were going to do for OTEB that Dr. Will was the neighbor. And I thought he was going to be like, hey, neighbor, can I borrow a cup of sugar? And like, I have to go and like look for something like that he was borrowing. But no, no Dr. Will. Maybe we'll see a split second of him during the triple eviction coming up on Thursday. But I guess let's talk about what we ended up seeing tonight. Cody's nominations, it was David and it was Kevin. But we do get a lot of the Nicole, Danny, Christmas subplot, which is going on in the season, where all the guys in the house, for the most part, they're all working together. But this big, this trio, there's a lot of intrigue between Nicole, Danny, Christmas. And Danny, she wants to play in veto just so she can win prizes, because she really wants Christmas to go home. But Nicole Franzel says, not so fast, Melissa. I've been talking about this for a while. I think that Nicole realizes that she needs to throw Danny under the bus for all of the things that have gone wrong for her this season, both maybe to herself and in the diary room especially.
Yeah, I mean, it did seem like we were kind of heading that direction with like the, I'm not following Danny's plans anymore. These were all her plans. She convinced me to do this and that. And really, it's like, did she convince you to do that? Or was it kind of like you did it together and you kind of agreed to it? So, I mean, I don't know. I agree that she's pushing the narrative. I don't believe the narrative, but, you know, it kind of works. I mean, it does make Danny look worse than Nicole, I guess, in regards to the Ian thing and possibly the Christmas thing. I don't know.
But she separates herself from Danny, and where does she go from here? That means all of her eggs are in Cody's basket. Like, this would have been a move to make if, guess who? If Ian was still in the house. If Ian was still in the house, this would be the correct way to go. But no, you've been playing Cody's game. Both of them have been playing Cody's game. Ian's gone. You want to turn on Danny. Now that means you are dependent on Cody to get you to the end. And he has four options that you don't. So I just think that Nicole and Danny, they missed their opportunity. They let their alliance dictate the people to go out who were closer to them. I don't know if we're going to get to the whole Kevin Nicole thing that happened, but even Nicole was like, I think I want to keep Kevin this week. And Cody's like, no, we got to get rid of Kevin. Like, this is the third time that Nicole has come to Cody and said, hey, I think I want this person to stay. And they said, no, this person needs to stay. And now you're going to be standing around looking like, oh, wait, where are all my allies? They're gone.
Yeah, I think it's also interesting. Sorry, yeah. I was just going to say, I think it's also interesting that on a previous podcast, I believe, Reb, you pointed out that the three remaining women are each women who want to be the last remaining woman among the men. And we literally are watching that play out in this episode tonight, where each of the women are like, I need to get rid of this woman before I get rid of this. It's like Nicole's like, I got to get rid of Danny. And Danny's like, I got to get rid of Christmas. And Christmas is like, I got to get rid of Danny. So they all want to get rid of each other so that they all can be the last woman standing. And it's honestly, it's just, it's embarrassing to women.
Well, I'll stick up for Danny a little bit. I think that Danny is fine to be her and Nicole. I think that she is specifically going after Christmas. I think she wanted Davon to stay also in her perfect world. So I don't want to brand Danny necessarily as being completely that I need to get all the other women out of the house.
Yeah, it's definitely been more of Nicole and Christmas, way more than Danny in terms of that aspect. Not to, you know, Danny has been a
mess.
She's
had plenty of other problems. Yeah.
She's her game has plenty to dissect as far as like who she's come after, the whole Ian of it all, like Marty mentioned. And also, so it's been very frustrating now that we are down to this. I'm like, I can't help but like look around the house and see, yeah, there are going to be five guys still in the house. These four that just don't seem to be able to be touched in any way, shape or form. Cody, Enzo, Memphis and Tyler, they're just sitting pretty while all of the women continue to target each other. And it's I think maybe I'm past the point of it being frustrating, because at this point I'm like, all right, you did this to yourselves, and when you all go out, I'm not even going to feel bad at this point. When one of these four guys wins, which is fully inevitable at this point, I have nothing left within me that is going to be like, oh, I'm going to be like, yeah, duh.
So are you saying there's no other outcome than the winner of this season is going to be? And I don't know if you've figured this out, then that's...
Well, I'm no Taryn in my 4 pages of spreadsheet
is this how we should be looking at this? That there are only 4 contenders to win this season, and that is Cody, Tyler, Enzo, and Memphis?
I would put money on it. I would put a lot of money on it.
That's what it's looking like, because, like I said, Danny and Nicole, they missed their moment. Like, you go back to BB Can 5 when Queen Ika was told, hey, I think it was Emily and Dillavo, when she said, I want this person to stay. And her group was like, no, we're going to get this person to stay. That was the second time in the world the person that she wanted to stay did not stay. She realized, hey, I'm at the bottom of this alliance. She flipped it and got Netta out. And then she decimated her alliance minus Mr. Kevin Martin. So like, that's what you have to do. You have to pick your spots. How can Nicole and Danny see that the last 3 weeks they have had no control over who has gone home and still feel comfortable that they're going to be sitting in one of those final two chairs? I don't get it, except for them just being extremely comfortable.
Yep. Melissa, we've seen Nicole sort of like wake up and smell the coffee, but for Danny, has it sunk in that things have not been going well for like the last 6 weeks?
Not from my, what I'm
so confident.
I have to say, it's like very confusing to me that she isn't noticing what's going on. I mean, it seems like she's kind of on the outs of game talk a little bit, and it just seems like people aren't really giving her information. Like, everyone is kind of, I don't know, they're not being honest with her. They're not being open with her. And she isn't taking that and going the next step, which is like, okay, they're not being honest or open with me, or at least seemingly they're not giving me any information. Next step is, okay, they don't trust me. They're going after me. I have a problem here. And we're not bridging that gap. What's not happening for her. And I don't really know why, unless she's just like so overconfident for no reason. Yeah. I don't know.
You know, Mari, I have to give Christmas some credit here, because I think that she, as we're talking about self-awareness, I think that she seemed to have enough self-awareness to know, hey, I could go up on the block this week if I don't end up being part of this veto. Like, I didn't get prior to the episode tonight in these diary rooms that she necessarily knew how much trouble she could have potentially been in. It seemed like that she realized that this was a possibility. She could go on the block.
I mean, at this point, it's kind of just process of elimination. You know, you have a 6-person alliance. You know that there are 2 people that aren't in that alliance, then Enzo. And you know those 2 people are going on the block. If one of those 2 people come down, somebody has to go up. Cody, with Cody being the HOH, Christmas should know she is the furthest degree of separation from Cody. She's not Nicole or Danny. She's not Enzo. And I think she knows that Memphis and Cody are pretty close. So, I mean, it's not, I'm not going to give her a whole bunch of brownie points for figuring it out for several reasons. But I mean, it's just a logical step, you know. Mm-hmm. Her being worried about it and her reaction luckily didn't, you know, scare anybody away, because, okay, so Cody put you up. You're supposed to be secure in your 6-person alliance. You have to fake that you are, oh, throw me up, it's fine, it's whatever. You know, don't tell him that, but, you know, you got to be confident. So, I mean, she saw the writing on the wall. She knew that she needed to possibly win. If not, she was going to go up. But I think she should have still just maintained her composure. If she went up, she could talk to a whole bunch of people. It's not that big of a deal. I mean, not this week, at least.
Okay. We saw Kevin and David have a conversation, and I do feel like that, you know, Big Brother 22 has had a lot of things that haven't gone well, but I feel like that they have done a good job this season. Maybe not every episode, but, you know, once or twice a week, they give us like a real conversation between the house guests. And we got to hear how Kevin felt like that he didn't really fit in with anybody in this group, and felt like that he wasn't able to bond necessarily with the black house guests, or felt like that he wasn't necessarily considered to be part of the what the Black House guests were going through, but also felt like did not feel like that he was accepted by the other group. It wasn't even really discussed also that Kevin is gay as well, which is an another part of like his intersectionality. Yeah. but I thought that this was a really compelling conversation between Kevin and David.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I was worried after Kacer was gone and after Davon was gone that we were going to lose this kind of stuff, because that's where like the meat of all of these great conversations were coming from early on in the season. Kacer going out and then, with Davon going out this week and then Bailey's been gone. It's like the people who were talking about really important things and not about like, Californians not being real, like, that was concerning, but yeah, what Kevin was talking about was fully worthwhile to be expressing on his own end for us to be hearing. Nobody wants to feel like their identity is not valid in the eyes of everybody else around them. Like you want people to see you for who you are and not, like that conversation with Davon definitely struck a chord with him. Like he talked about it in this conversation. He brought it up a couple of different times. And I believe that him and Davon had hashed it out. I don't want to 100% like confirm that, but yeah. I think that they talked about it and they got back on the same page, but it was nice to at least get more of that like real life talk brought into it when it's kind of been slipping away from the picture of the show. So
yeah how about David with the pep talk? Also, he's like, you're Kevin Campbell, that's who you are.
Yeah. And so like I thought his question to David was pretty interesting when he said, oh, David, how would you define me? And then David had the right answer. He was like, how did you want me to define you? I know coming from the Black community, for me, whenever I have mixed friends or mixed people that I know, we always ask, what do you want to be presented as? Because each person is an individual, shocker, including Black people. People are individuals. So when David said, well, what do you want to present as? What do you, what do you consider yourself? And Kevin was like, well, I don't really, I know I'm mixed and I'm Japanese. And David said, well, that's what it is. You're Black and you're Japanese, and that's what you are. And it's different with everybody. Like, I know mixed people who say that they are Black. They'll just claim Black because that's their identity. And then I know other people who are saying I'm biracial. Like, it's really how you want to be perceived. And with Davon and Kevin, Davon comes in from her perspective. And if I'm going to step into her shoes for 2 seconds as a Black woman who is also about the same complexion as her, when she says, I look at the winner's circle and I don't see myself, that she's talking about us. She's talking about like a Black person who's like a full Black person. It does not mean she is trying to take away Kevin's identity. She's saying from her perspective, she doesn't see anybody who looked like her. And are my experience is not going to be the same as Kevin's experience for multiple reasons, because of his race and ethnicity, because of his sexual identity and stuff like that. And it's 2 different experiences. And to act like it's not, is that's more racial than anything, I think. And it's almost like that answer that Julie gave to Entertainment Weekly, when Entertainment Weekly said, oh, Davon talks about not seeing winners like her. And Julie went and said, well, I don't think Josh or June or Casey would say those people are all people of color. Yes, they are. You cannot take that away from them. But their experience is not the exact same as my experience or Davon's experience, or even hell, the experience between the 3 of them. So it's not anything to nitpick over. And I'm glad that they hashed it out. And I'm glad that Davon was like, oh, I'm sorry, I did it. I was not trying to offend you when I wasn't counting you as a Black person. I just didn't, think that's what you identified as. So I thought it was a great conversation to have on primetime television. And I hope more people understand the situation and don't just be like, oh, Davon was racist for not seeing Kevin. And that's not the case. It's just different experiences. We are different people. We're all different people and we all have different experiences.
It's been a that was incredible, Mari. I appreciate giving us all that. It's been such a weird season where I feel like that we've had these moments of like real conversation and talking about social issues from a lot of the people that have been on the bottom in this game, and then the other half of the house, which has not been on the bottom. I can't think of one serious conversation we've seen from them the entire season.
Yeah.
That's not just, it's not game talk.
Yeah. And, you know, it's been brought up here and there in like little like things that have been dropped from maybe Enzo, maybe Danny of like, look at like the nominees, like who's been going on the block consistently and whatnot. And then they'll be like, you know, yeah, like the optics might not look great. And then some people just completely dismiss it. So the conversations that they're having are much different from the conversations that the people on the bottom are having. Mm-hmm. And the way that they're showing it, like, I'm glad we're seeing the Kevin stuff, but this has been an issue forever, but especially like in last year, this year, like these topics that the fans are talking about, like the graphics that I'm sure you've seen go around Twitter of like, look at the nominees for all 8 weeks of this season. That's not going to come up on the show. They're not giving us that. And that's, you know, disappointing. I don't know, you know, if we can ever get to a point where CBS is willing to like show like, yeah, look at this, like show that graphic on the show. We would love that. Like, let me see that. And then, you know, have them have a DR about that. But baby steps, I don't know.
Well, yeah. Christmas and Nicole are going to have a conversation. And I thought this started in such a weird way of Christmas walks into the Big Brother house. And this is that to me, that the Big Brother house is such a fantasy to me, because I see like that David had this at one point. Nicole has this. She's just sitting in a room by herself and nobody's talking to them. Just such a you know, world that I wish I could imagine myself in, where you're sitting there alone with your thoughts. And then here comes Christmas, who comes in and Nicole says this.
I'm like sweaty.
Yeah, she's sweaty, and it's just, and then from taking a shower, and then they go into that conversation. I don't know why the editors wanted to leave that whole part of the conversation in there.
Rob, I don't know how you can say they don't have deep conversations. Look at that.
Yeah, they're talking about their real stuff. Yeah, but
they're talking about real problems, real issues. She's sweaty. Mm-hmm.
So, Melissa, a war is about to start, and Nicole wants to make sure she's on the right side of that war with Christmas, because she has to do a lot for Christmas. Listen,
if it's in question, I shut that crap down.
Yeah, I shut that crap down that I hear about you. Christmas, wow. Is it from Danny?
I like the dramatic music underlying that. I shut that crap down.
That crap like, is shut down so hard. And then it was Danny, wasn't it? Yes, it was.
It was. It was.
It was Danny.
I appreciate like all the work you're putting in, Nicole. Thank you so much for.
It is not a great idea, I think, for Nicole to be revealing that to Christmas. I just feel like there's bad moves made all around. I feel like if she doesn't want Christmas to go, I mean, the only way that this is beneficial for her is if she actively wants Danny to go and she actively wants Christmas and Danny to be at each other's throats. Otherwise, it's like, keep everyone calm. Pretend like you don't know anything. You know what I mean? Just like let it ride and
bring
see
them
what
together.
Happens. Yeah.
Have a conversation in the same room. Like you need both of them right now.
Yeah.
She's willing to kind of like throw Danny under the bus to Cody, to Christmas. Like there are big parts of the game coming up. You need both of them. And if you were actually playing a strong game, you would unite this group together rather than continue to, you know, kind of like just throwing them under the bus. I mean, this, we could go on for hours of me having a hard time understanding people that defend Nicole and her game, but maybe that's another time.
Okay. Yeah, this conversation with Nicole and Christmas, it kind of is just setting up the, like, I know we always wait. We're like, oh, wait till it gets to the big alliance. Then it's going to get fun because they're going to turn on each other. No, this is basically Nicole saying, hey, you know, she needs to go. She needs to go. This is them starting to establish a pecking order, and that is not fun. Cody said it in this episode, like, I want, what do you say, I want Kevin to go, then Danny and Christmas, something like Christmas Danny. So it's like this is setting up pecking orders. This isn't a war that we've been waiting for. It's a continued pecking order. I don't want to see that.
Nope.
Well, yeah, the war is gonna kick off tomorrow, Mari.
Will it Rob?
You don't think it will?
I don't know. I think now that they've been warned, like Taryn said this morning, like now that they've kind of been warned, what's been happening on the feeds has been more entertaining than probably what we're going to get tomorrow. But I'm excited to see a triple double double, triple eviction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
yeah. So just for people who you know are not keeping up with the live feed, that there has been a warning given to the house guests of something the lines of three steps ahead. So they have been it has been teased to the house guests about what's to come on Thursday night. So we'll talk about that more in detail as we go along. No, don't sweat it. So let's talk about something else that people may have already heard on the podcast. If you're a listener to The Slop, we had a really fun edition of The Slop this week with Chappelle and Scott Yeager talking about everything going on in the Big Brother house. But it was 2 weeks ago with Mike Bloom. We talked about how Cody doesn't know stuff, including what does it mean when you are from a certain state?
New Jerseyan?
I'm a Floridian.
A Floridian? Did you just make that up?
No.
You made it up.
Okay. Melissa, the Zingbot did tell Cody he had an IQ of 10. And we talked about that, that I think Cody is a great player, really good player at this game. But I also think that he is somebody, he does not know facts. Then I saw that after we talked about this on The Slop, someone compared him to the John Hamm character from 30 Rock.
Yeah, that's actually, I would believe that. That's very accurate.
But he's very handsome. Does he need to know facts?
He doesn't need to know any of that stuff. Really, it's good to just live in his, what was it, his handsome bubble or something they called it on 30 Rock. And basically no one will tell him that he's bad at anything or dumb because he just is so pretty.
Oh,
that's fine.
That was a preview, guys. That's the preview of the feeds for the next few weeks. I hope
this was from a couple of weeks ago, though, too.
Also, though, what animal was he thinking of in regards to?
Okay,
Texan?
I could explain this Texan. One for you. Yeah, so this is okay.
A Texan is an animal.
Okay, so he's getting confused because the Houston Texans football team that their mascot is on the side of the helmet. Scott, are you able to bring up a Houston Texans helmet real quick?
Because we'd rather be talking about football.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure.
Is it a recognizable animal or is it like a picture?
No, it's just
there's
a football team called the Houston Texans.
It's just a bull thing.
Yeah, and it's kind of like a bull that's red, white, and blue. If we have maybe Cody has Deshaun Watson on his fantasy football team, but that's what he is thinking is an animal.
But no, we're not Texans. We're Americans. That's what Cody's philosophy of all this was. Yeah, that was a great segment on The Slop. I was surprised to see it, you know, a whole 2 weeks later during the show. But gotta squeeze that in whenever you can.
Yeah.
Are you talking about Longhorns?
No, it wasn't Longhorns. So here's Houston Texans.
Oh, I see.
The logo for the Houston Texans. That is, I would bet my life. I would bet my life that's what he's talking about. Yeah, a Texan is an animal. He sees that.
A Texan is an animal.
Okay, that makes me. Okay, this whole time I was like, okay, he must be thinking like, you know, like a Tasmanian devil or something, you know, like something that sounds kind of like Texan, but not really. But if you see that image and it says Houston Texans, you're not going to be like, oh, that's a Texan. It's like this bull thing.
Well,
it
is Cody.
There is no way.
Yeah, that's, I bet that's what he thinks.
It for me. I mean, I could see it, but
so you're saying his IQ is not bouncing up to a 20 or a 22.
I don't think so. I don't know.
And I'm not saying he's a bad player. He just doesn't know facts.
He's a good player. I mean, I've said all along that Zingbot Zing was great for him. I think that to be called dumb or to be told that you're not strategizing or something like that, even if you are in fact strategizing, not if you're actually not strategizing and if in fact you're dumb. But if Zingbot calls you out for something like that, something non-threatening, I mean, that's great for you. And BB Can 6, Paris was told when they did that competition where they had to like spray the drink on everyone's face and vote for like who they thought was X, this, X, that, whatever. They said she was, what, the the dumbest or whatever.
Yeah.
And she was just like, what? And in the diary room, she was like, thank God they said that about me. I'm not dumb. I mean, so yeah. That is what you want, is you want everyone to not suspect you. You want them to not think of you as a threat. You want them to think that you're dumb. So that way they don't see you coming.
Mm-hmm. The challenge every season, like the show, The Challenge, has a trivia contest, a competition. It's like one of the main challenges that it's like pretty much a staple of every season. Mm-hmm. I'm surprised that Big Brother hasn't done anything like that on like a consistent level, because you would get segments like this built into the competition. Mm-hmm. Like it's very basic trivia questions, not like very hard textbook questions, but just things that people would generally possibly know. And they would get a lot of content out of Cody. But then again, maybe Cody will end up on The Challenge one day and compete in that anyway. But
maybe one day.
That would be a good mix.
Except when they ask somebody, like, what's the capital of South Dakota? And they ask the other person, please spell chair on The Challenge.
Right, yeah. And sometimes that happens. And then maybe Cody will be able to spell chair, C-H-I-A-R. And we'll get a fun DR about it.
Those
right.
questions. Oh, my God.
Well, let's talk about our veto pick, because we get to see who's going to play in the power of veto. Cody is going to pick Nicole F. I like that they have, not redone the chips.
Still, yeah,
she's still Nicole F. Kevin picks Tyler, and David, he picks Enzo to play, and that is going to set Christmas right off.
Call me if I'm a replacement nom. If not, call me on Thursday.
I'm not going to call you at all.
Right.
I think we're good.
Like, she didn't have to do all that.
Yeah. Maybe Julie will call her on Thursday.
Oh, right.
Hey, Christmas, you available to come host today? You'd have to leave the game, but hop out here.
To be fair, I guess if I had thoughts that I'm going to be put up on the block, and then the one chance I have to possibly save myself and not be backdoored is just like not given to me, I'm not presented with the opportunity to even try, then I would be upset too. But, I mean, the odds of her actually going home this week were like very slim. So, yes. I mean, as much as Enzo wants us to believe he would actually do something in this game, I don't believe it. And I'll believe it when I see it. So I do think,
the cuddle puddle that ensued right after that of, oh, Christmas, we love you. It's okay that you're not playing for me. I just never get picked. Like, really? Really? This is what we're spending time on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If she was really the combi she thinks she was, she would want to not play in competition so she doesn't up her profile and up her target, because people would be like, she's winning. And again, showing how upset you are to a house full of your whole entire alliance kind of makes them think, hey, does she not trust us or what's going on? So I don't like this.
She just wants to win.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what she's going to play up. I'm just a competitor. I just want to be a part of stuff. But it's just, I don't know. I didn't think that was necessary.
I think she would play, if it's kind of like the reverse Rachel Riley, like she would play a season of Big Brother if she only had to play the competitions. Like if she couldn't win any money, if she had to be that player who came in to sub for somebody like Rachel, she would play all the competitions and then she would go out and live in the neighbor's house for the entire week. She would do it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Matt, do you think that Christmas has a future on The Challenge?
No.
Why not?
Because I won't let it happen.
I don't know. I don't know enough about it, but I feel like that she is a fierce competitor, a known crazy person. She gets in huge fights with people.
Sound right for The Challenge.
Yeah. Can we like? I agree with you, but if we like put this energy out into the universe, they might hear you and try to make this happen.
Is she past a certain age limit? Like, I think she's in her late 30s. Yeah. Is that sort of like, is it like,
especially like if we end up with another challenge, like the format,
Mark and they can convince Devon
to come back.
She's too old for women, because they don't seem to bring back a lot of older women, but they'll let Johnny Bananas come back 20 million times if he wants to. So
I don't think it's a 0% chance, but I want it to be a 0% chance. So that's just where my head's at.
Josh can reunite. Yeah.
They could have done that this season, but Josh was,
Hey, got a party. Okay. All right. Then we see Enzo one more time, and Enzo is telling us about how he really wants this veto to be played. Melissa, Enzo has told us so many times he wants to make a big move, yo.
Yeah, I don't believe it for a second. I think that he knows we want to hear that. Yep. He knows that the audience is like, oh, man, if Enzo could just win this one. And it's like, no, it's not going to happen. Like, I can almost guarantee that if Enzo won it, like, as much as he wants to say on the feeds or whatever, or in the diary room, that he would actually make a move, use the veto, have him backdoor someone else. Like, I just don't believe it at all. Like, let's wait and see, but... At this point, I've seen nothing from Enzo.
Enzo's like me all through the lockdown when I'm telling my wife all the things like, oh, man, I wish we could be out tonight. Oh, man, this, how great would that be?
So many crazy things.
We could be at the beach right now. Come on.
Come on.
Yeah.
If only I didn't have to be stuck.
Can't
in
wait
this
for this to be over. I could be out there spending money, hanging out, doing good stuff. Okay.
They gave us a lot of Enzo tonight, too. They gave us a lot of this Enzo narrative. I'm
good.
Like,
I don't want anyone else.
Somebody's buying this narrative, I guess.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure they wanted to create suspense about is Christmas going to be backdoored? Enzo almost wins it. And if he wins it, he's saying he's going to backdoor someone. And Danny, there's a discussion of Danny wanting to get Christmas out. Oh, my gosh, what's going to happen?
Yeah.
And Christmas being all upset in the diary room or nervous in the diary room. And, you know, her whole diary room session at the end where she's just like, you know, well, you know, I'm still here. I live to see another week or whatever, as if there was really a chance that she was going to be going home. I mean, yeah, people can talk, people can say what they want, but I didn't see a scenario where Christmas was leaving this week. I mean, this first eviction, maybe.
The acting in this show has just gone so bad. And then, like, it is really becoming a scripted show in those diary rooms at this point. It's just not good. And Enzo has known, correct me if I'm wrong, Enzo has known about the committee for at least 4 weeks now, right? Cody told him on Tyler's HOH.
I don't remember the exact.
But he has known about it.
He's known about it for a while.
So for him, he's in a good spot. So he doesn't really need to do anything at all. So that's why he can give this lip service about and pander to us fans. And his play style is one that he gives you hope to everybody. So then when he says in the diary room, it matches, unlike, you know, Nicole kind of lip service. So, but I mean, he's really taking a gamble coming down to him and the committee, but he seems to be maneuvering himself in a way that this is the right move for him. So I can't really fault him for that.
I think part of Enzo's strategy is also like gassing other people up to get them really pumped up on the idea of making a big move.
Yeah.
And like, so that he doesn't have to be the one to make the big move. I mean, we remember during his HOH when there was talk about actually, you know, backdooring whoever, you know, and trying to make a big move and all that. I believe it was Danny. I don't remember anymore. But the point is that he was basically saying like, yes, I'd love to make this move. Let's do it. But why don't we wait till it's someone else's HOH and then we can do it then.
And he's doing it with David tonight. Day.
Next week.
That's the thing. I feel like he goes to each person and kind of gets them riled up, thinking like, yeah, we should be making big moves. So that way he can be a part of that big move, but not actually be the person to be making that big move. And that's the problem, is he doesn't have, you know, the like gumption or whatever to actually do something in the game. He's just kind of all talk.
Yeah, and he also hasn't needed to win in some recent weeks. And, I think a lot of people have been talking about, does he need to win tomorrow night? Will he win tomorrow night? You know, there's not really any need. If he does, I think I don't see him going after David by any means. I think he's going to go after, you know, a bigger name. It's just, you know, again, does he need to win? Is it much better for his game? If he doesn't, probably.
All right, we'll get right back to talking about Otev, the psychedelic salamander, here in just a moment. But first, we are blessed right now because we have here with me in the studio to talk with me about our sponsor for today's episode of the podcast. Talk about KiwiCo. Here is the first lady of podcasting, Nicole Sisternino. Nicole, how are you?
Yeah, I'm okay.
Long day, right? Long day as a mom.
This homeschool,
they're not getting easier, right?
No, it's awful.
As a mom,
it's awful. There's not enough wine to get through this.
Who are distance learning?
Are they even learning?
Not look. We're not here to talk about that right now. We're here to talk about activities.
This is the first conversation I've had with not a child today.
Activities for your little ones during this time. Now, I've got a great idea. Wouldn't you have loved to have had your hands on a project from KiwiCo today? How many hours would that have eaten up?
I would have had 1 hour at least to myself. And that is enough reason, moms. I'm going to tell it to you straight. Mm-hmm. That is enough reason to go and get it. 1 hour without having to interact with your children. Get it.
Well, that some children will want the help of an adult to put together.
Hey, you know what? They learn from mistakes.
Yes.
They learn from their mistakes. They can do it on their own.
With these super cool hands-on science, art, and geography projects from KiwiCo, best of all, that your children will work on the project, and then the project is a toy that they could play with for the rest of the day.
And they're probably learning more than what I'm teaching them because I don't know what I'm doing.
Right. And of course, this time of year, it is heading into Halloween season. Going to be a different kind of Halloween.
Halloween is canceled.
Than we're used to. So wouldn't your little mad scientists enjoy getting to work on a project that comes to them from KiwiCo?
And mad mom needs a break.
Your children can be innovators and creative thinkers, Nicole, that they just need to believe in themselves and they can accomplish their goals with KiwiCo. When they're finished, you could watch their confidence be as big as their smile.
Yeah, I don't really care.
You know, Nicole, I can hear that it's hard to find new creative ways to keep the kids busy while stretching their brain, especially right now. You don't want too much time, screen time.
Screen time, screaming time, it's all the same.
KiwiCo, they've done the legwork for you. You could spend more quality time tackling other projects. Get real high-quality engineering, science, and art projects for children and for the kid at heart with different crates for kids of all ages. There's something for every kid on your list. There's no commitment, so you can pause or cancel anytime. KiwiCo is redefining learning with hands-on projects that build confidence, creativity, and critical thinking skills. There's something for every kid or kid at heart at KiwiCo. Get 30% off your first month, plus free shipping on any crate line at kiwico.com/RHAP. That's KiwiCo.com/RHAP. All right.
Does a box come with someone who does Zoom?
No, you're on your own for that. All right, let's get back to talking about Big Brother. All right, let's start to get into talking about Otev and the big Otev competition from tonight. Because this freaked me out. I got to be honest. This was so weird. They walk into the backyard and Tyler is saying,
"This is like my dream come true right here.
This is my dream come true."
Tyler.
What is wrong with Tyler? Forget what's wrong with Angela. What's wrong with Tyler?
All I have to say is I'm just really glad there wasn't a big creature throwing up on everyone this time. At least we didn't have that. So like, let's all be thankful. Man. That is just like a surfer dude salamander. And instead of like just bodily functions going on.
I have so many questions. Mari, what is this supposed to be? What is the psychedelic salamander?
The 70s, a good Woodstock vibe. I don't know, Rob.
What are we going for here?
It was weird. And those the band names on the shirt, I was so confused.
Are those supposed to be bands? A parody of something?
Yeah, they were all very long.
Don't call me a boomer, Melissa, because I don't even know what they're talking about.
Well, it honestly, I think they were very proud of the names they came up with because they made every single person say the name every time with every shirt. And it's just like, okay, we get it. Just like say that they're all right or they're all wrong. Like we don't need to hear every single person say the name. It's not like, I just didn't feel the suspense with that one.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's go ahead and meet our host for OTEV.
Are you guys real?
Are you guys real?
Wait, what?
Okay. Yes.
They don't hear that voice in the house, right? Do they hear like what?
They hear it not from the guy. They hear it from like the speakers. So it'll play. Oh. It's just not coming directly from the thing's mouth, but okay. They do hear everything he has to say.
Okay.
Okay.
Here he is. Let's meet him.
Salutations and hello, fellow Earth beings. My name is OTEV, the psychedelic salamander.
Whoa.
I like, no matter how many times they change up OTEV, I still picture OTEV as the big, like, you know, Legends of the Hidden Temple kind of thing. Like, that's what I still am picturing because I'm just like, okay, I'm not seeing like I'm not remembering the salamander or the like, you know, next year I'll have forgotten all about this. So, you know. That's fine.
I was just about to say Olmec.
Exactly. And I thought this one was interesting. Just like looking at it when we first saw it. I mean, essentially it was like, you know, nobody was able to go out this summer. So nobody had these beach parties, pool parties. So they took all of those leftover, the inflatables and all those, and they just threw it into the backyard. They took everybody's from LA, from the local area, put it all together. But then the competition, like not having water run down, and it was like the slippery substance that they use. That was a change up to the format, which, you know, I'm sure we'll get to. Led to some fun falls.
Yeah.
That was different, but I don't think I hated it.
What did y'all think about the shirts also like being color coordinated? So like, could you really just see... Could you see what somebody picked, like the blue tie-dye shirt, and just look for another blue tie-dye shirt? I thought that was kind of like interesting too. That's what I was looking at the whole time. I was like, oh, if the first person or two people up have the same color, I'm just going to start looking for that color.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good thinking. Let's listen to the explanation of how this is going to work from our psychedelic salamander.
My bodacious bud, Dr. Will, let me crash here at his awesome pad, and I threw a most righteous party last night. Oh, the only bummer is all my bitchin' tie-dye tees went missing.
What? That's how we're going to bring Dr. Will into it? That Dr. Will bought the house and then let the salamander have a party?
His what tie-dye tees?
I believe he said bitchin' tie-dye tees. Yeah.
My bitchin' tie-dye tees went missing.
What the closed captioning say?
It didn't say. It skipped over the word.
They were just like, that's it. That's it, yo. We're walking out on this.
So is Sal the salamander is Cato Caitlin then? That's basically what they're saying?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't know.
Yeah, he took over Dr. Will is going to be pissed. He doesn't want a salamander having taking LSD at his house.
Look, Dr. Will has been in worse company in past years. I think it's okay.
He's used to it.
He's used to it.
Man.
Oh, my God.
All I can say is I want one of those shirts. I was like, there's so many of them, I want one.
Yeah, and they wore them today. Spoiler alert for the feeds, they had them on all day today. And,
spoilers.
I thought that was something fun to watch.
Okay.
Didn't they have a Janelle and Bailey one? I would die.
So this would be the most popular merch that BB22 could come up with, just the shirts from this competition.
$10,000.
Hey, it works. Yeah. There was a Big Brother Over the Top competition that like the best comp they ever did revolved around a shirt. When they had pretty much like the sequester safety chain, you just hand off a shirt and the amazing things you can do with low budget items.
Okay, so There was one contestant that was not going for a low budget item. We heard about this all week long that there was $10,000 up for grabs if somebody got one of the shirts. And it looked as though a lot of people had the answer. David found the 10K shirt and basically said, F it. I'm taking the 10K.
Woo. Yes.
Yes.
And I'm so happy for him. He made everyone mad.
Well, what was interesting about this, though, was that we knew the eventual winner was Cody. It's interesting. Cody would have been knocked out here.
Yeah.
Had David ended up finding the shirt. But we don't know necessarily if he would have found the shirt ahead of David.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, look, I'm very happy that David has $10,000. But I will say that it would be hypocritical of me to say, like, well, I'm so glad David went for the money. Like, because, you know, I do think that if you're on the block, like, you should be going for the veto. You should be wanting to stay. You should care enough that one should feel safe.
Cody told him he's safe.
Yeah. I mean, Cody says a lot of things. So I don't know. I just feel like I don't love that he went for the money instead of trying for the veto. I'm happy that he got the money and that everyone was upset about it. But I'm not overall condoning the fact that he just said, F it. I'm not going to go for the veto at all. Like, who cares? Maybe I'll leave. And maybe he will leave. But, you know, I just feel like he should have gone for the veto. He's on the block. He's in danger. I don't know.
I think the biggest thing is just the disparity of time. If him and Cody were like neck and neck, then it would have been like, oh, okay, it's fine. But the fact that he was like up there and Cody was just taking his time, it just made it look a little bit worse.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I think it's, you know, it's different in a competition. Like when they do the slip and slide comp and like you can fill up the competition to get the power or you can fill it up to get the money. This is like, it seemed like there was one shirt that had the $10,000. Like if you find the golden ticket, you win $10,000. And yeah, I totally get the stakes that come along with it. But when you pick it up and you find that shirt and you know that by taking this money, you have $10,000 and all of these other five people will not get it, that is a tough temptation to turn your nose at, especially when he was slightly feeling safe. So,
I was just going to say, I think also, like, I do think there is a difference between, like, someone who's not on the block and not in danger, like, going for it. Totally get that. Or, like, B, going for it instead of going for HOH. Like, I just feel like when you're on the block and you are like a target, possibly, like maybe they're saying you're not a target, but you're always a target. I do think that like that's a different scenario than like, you know, the slip and slide or whatever, where it's for HOH and you might not get the power, but you also have chance for veto. You might not go home. Like, who knows who's going to win. Then I say like, yeah, go for the money. But I think that in this instance, like, I do think that, I mean, look, this, I just feel like I can't sit there and say like, yeah, I'm glad he took the money, since like every time before this, I've said like, hey, if you're in danger, you need to go for it and you need to show that you want to be there. But there is kind of a different scenario here just because, like, I mean, David and Kevin, are they going to like win this? I feel like they just don't have a shot at this point.
Right.
So
by no means was it the best move of the game, best game move by any means to take the money.
How about this?
Or do you get $10,000?
Could David take the 10K shirt and like hide it somewhere? I don't know how many 10K shirts there are.
Yeah.
And then sort of like, okay, it's me and Kevin at the end. All right, I'll take the 10K. Well, that might be worse for his game. Yeah. In that case, like, I think it's probably fine the way it played out.
Maybe
but
Enzo.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Down. Maybe there's like a better spot to end up doing it, but he does it.
It's either committing to taking the money or not committing to taking the money. It's got to choose.
For me in general with OTEV, I would love to play OTEV. And I always thought like I would, you saw how at the beginning they were unfurling the shirts, you know, first. I would always think like I would unfurl a shirt. If it's not the shirt I'm looking for, I would put it into a pile. I think somebody did that in one of the seasons. I can't remember. That's what I would do. I would try and put the stuff that I remember like close to somewhere that I know with my own little personal stash. And that's where I would put that $10,000 shirt.
But then they kept dumping the beach balls down. So your stack would have been covered up. You would have to go digging to find it.
Which is good because hopefully it hides it from everybody else.
Yeah. More buried. So there was one person that was real hot about David taking the 10K.
I'm just flabbergasted.
Christmas was so mad
Can you imagine? It's Christmas. Who's angry about something?
We'll see.
Yeah. And now the irony here is that, you know, had David potentially won the veto, she could be backdoored. I gave her credit before for being, you know, at least having a little bit of perspective, but not here.
Right. So mad. She was mad at him for possibly keeping her off the block. She is.
This is a rookie move. Somebody not respecting the integrity of the game. Win the veto. You need to win it. If that was me, I would be going for the veto. You had a chance to play in this competition, David, and you let yourself be the first one out. How dare you?
Right. Oh my God.
Doesn't he realize how serious? Once the psychedelic salamander gives you the names, you go find that tie-dye t-shirt and you climb up the greasy hill. This is serious.
This is serious competition.
She's mad.
Christmas.
She's mad. Okay. So Kevin gets 10K. He's out. The shirt says Lady Janelle and the Gentleman Ians. Okay.
Wait, yeah, like, I mean, is that a band?
I'm looking at the chat to give me
the names as being like possible band names.
Yeah, I do recognize them.
Brent is in the chat. He probably knows.
Zing.
Right.
I don't know. I don't know what any of this is.
Yeah, me neither.
Then the second one was Casership Band and Kaleidoscope.
That was so like everybody reading it out the exact way that it's spelled, which is exactly what I would do. Just like Bailey Doscope or whatever. You're like, oh yeah, Kaleidoscope, duh.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay.
I don't know.
I would have gotten there in like a day or two.
Okay.
I got none of these references. If they were references, I got none of them.
I feel like I know a lot of bands from like the 60s and 70s, and like I don't recognize a single one of those, so just creative games, I guess.
Yeah. So they really, this competition was so long, like we're 10 minutes into it and I was like, oh boy, okay, like Kevin's still there, I guess he got one pretty far. I'm like, no, there's still like five people in the competition, but they really tried to play up the rivalry between Kevin and Cody, and then ultimately that it's between the two of them, and then it's Kevin who gets eliminated first. The salamander, I thought, was very rude to Kevin.
Kevin, that was most heinous. Get off my ramp.
Yeah, get off my ramp.
Get off my ramp.
Get the stuff in.
Get out of here.
All right. Then we got down to this is actually one other thing. Kevin talking about I can't stand Cody.
I can't stand that fool.
Kevin hates Cody.
I get it.
He's put him up twice, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Along with three other people, so.
All right. We come down to there's Enzo, there's Cody, and there's Nicole F. Enzo is up there. And Cody, for a guy who wins the competition, really was struggling with this. Yeah. Matt, let me ask you, let me put on my tie-dye aluminum foil hat and ask you, was this a throw from Nicole Franzel?
Oh, yeah. Why did Nicole need to win this veto?
Wanted to prove myself to Cody and to my alliance. Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's tough, actually, because like she has been really wanting a win. She's been looking for one, but then again, once she got to this competition and she like face planted on the wall four times, probably realized it's not happening for her. Totally possible.
She was at the top. She's like, I can't.
And then she got pulled up. Is that the same round or?
It was all the same round. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mari. She didn't want this.
No, not at all. She went down backwards at one point. I was like, what is happening right now? Which is crazy because Danny has been saying to her that New School BB they respect competitions. It's not like us old schoolers. They respect competition wins. We need to get some competition wins under our belt. Sadly, that is true with modern Big Brother. People do value, the jury values competition wins a lot more now than they used to. So, I mean, this was a veto that she could have won, could have gotten it under her belt and did nothing with it. Like, it would have costed her nothing to keep those noms the same. I don't think Kevin or David were expecting her to change it. It would have been a good thing to put on her resume. It would have shut the boys up from saying she hasn't won anything. So I don't know why I really feel like she threw this, and I don't know why.
I think that if she won the veto, there would have been a lot of pressure from Danny to be like, oh, good, now you have the veto, and now we can backdoor Christmas. And then she has to not use the veto. And Danny's like, yeah. Nicole, why wouldn't you use the veto? We had it. Why won't you do that? And so it would create a whole big problem for her with Danny. And Cody didn't want her to use the veto.
Yeah. There's of course the OTEV curse, which I believe she knew about.
The OTEV curse. Okay.
So that's a possibility. And also, I mean, she's already sent out two people to the jury that she's probably very concerned about whether or not she has their votes. For her to lock in these nominations and have another person potentially be mad at her also could have been a reason not to win this one. So.
And Matt, she was on The Amazing Race with Rupert. She knows about what happens when tie-dye guys go up and slide down the hill over and over again. She knows that's going to be good TV also. She's like, this will be good camera time. They'll make it a whole thing. It's so funny.
I can't imagine she thought about anything else in that competition besides Rupert the entire way.
That's right. Okay. All right. And then, it's Cody versus Enzo. Who had 9 votes? All of a sudden, Enzo can't remember anything. Mari, did Enzo throw this competition? Because he doesn't really want to make a big move either.
It's a possibility because as far as I know, Enzo is pretty up to date on what's going on with the game. So him drawing a blank. Yeah. This could be seen as a throw as well. He had said something to David or Kevin, one of them, about changing David. He told David he would change the noms. That's why David picked him, of course. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think he probably threw it as well. I don't know. I hate this. Like, I want people to be trying. I'm so upset right now.
All of a sudden, but, I don't remember anything, yo.
Yeah, everybody plays hard and they want to do well. And where was Christmas's reactions when both Nicole and Enzo ended up not winning? Where was her? They could have had that.
Yeah. Right.
When Nicole was making grease angels, nobody said anything.
They gave it a good enough show. Okay. All right. So that gets it really close to the end of the episode. People are real mad still, though, about David, about how he has no respect for this game. And Enzo didn't like it either.
I think it's a big piece of doo-doo pie that he did that.
Big piece of doo-doo pie. Didn't he say also the other night that there's something else about doo-doo that he thought that Memphis and Christmas were also full of doo-doo?
Doo-doo heads or something, yeah.
Yeah. why this all of a sudden is everything doo-doo for Enzo?
Does he have small children? He has to revert to parent talk, so he's not cursing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know where this all came from all of a sudden for Enzo. Anyway, so we're going to get to Cody, and Cody's going to tell David, Melissa, like, why'd you say why I told you not to look like you were safe. Never tell people.
Yeah, I mean, it does make it look like David has come to some sort of agreement with Cody that, you know, he doesn't need to use the veto or even get the veto at all. Like, it just makes David look too comfortable. Mm-hmm. The fact that he went first for the money.
And they're all just so annoyed because he's not the one that's going, or he wasn't the one scheduled to be going, at this point in the week. Maybe he is, maybe he's not right now, but it's like, we get it, but they're extra annoyed that now he has $10,000 in his pocket and also, do they actually want to switch on what they were thinking of the original plans? Who knows?
I mean, honestly, if I was thinking like, you know, okay, this guy's not going home, like this is the target. And then the guy who's not going home decides like, I'm just going to go for the money. I'm fine. Like, I'd be kind of like, well, maybe we should send you home. Like, you feel that comfortable. Clearly, maybe, I mean, David shouldn't feel that comfortable, but the thought behind it would be like, okay, well, maybe he has side deals with people that I don't know about. Like, if he's feeling that safe on a week that he could go home, like something's not adding up here. So
I just didn't like that Christmas was the one kind of leading the charge and she's sitting there with $5,000 in her pocket from the first week. Like, what? What is happening?
Yeah. Although she just got it for nothing, right? She's just opened the envelope. Yeah. Everybody forgot about that. All right. So power veto meeting. It's not going to get used. Did we even see the speeches? Is this optional now?
No speeches.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yada, yada. Matt, has the power veto been used exactly once this season when Davon was on the block?
Kevin did take himself down once.
Kevin. Yeah. Okay. So it's been a very boring season for the power veto. Too many people are playing the power veto.
Yeah.
This was one of my favorite ideas from this week of get it down to three or four people play the power veto.
They're stealing triple evictions from BB Ken. They should also steal the idea where the HOH doesn't play in the veto. I've been an advocate for this since BB Ken introduced it, and especially like just as time goes on and we still haven't seen that change on BBUS. Like, you already gave this person the HOH power for the week. You know, they have the power to do the moves that they want to do. By taking them out of the veto competition, I really feel like that's something that BB Ken got right. And granted, we haven't seen it like enough to like fully come down on either way on that. But I feel like we were heading in the right direction. And then we wouldn't end up with the Cody back-to-back wins or the Memphis back-to-back wins. It's a lot more open.
Yeah, to be fair, it does seem like a lot of the time, like even the majority of the time, maybe it seems like the HOH wins both. I just feel like it's like constantly we're always seeing the HOH like make the noms, then have absolutely no drama because they keep the noms the same. And it's just like, you know,
if Cody's not there in this comp, Enzo wins the veto and maybe he uses it. Like maybe he actually uses it. I don't know.
Let's not get carried away.
I'm just saying the option would be there if Cody is not playing.
That's true.
Originally, when they introduced that on BB Can, I didn't like that. Especially with the mechanism that I was being used that season where it's like, the first season with BB Can 7, it was like, the HOH isn't in the veto, so they're not winning as much, so it's not putting a target on their back. And it was letting big competition threat people slide because people weren't registering that they're big competition because they weren't, you know, doing double wins. But now that BBUS has moved towards the whole big group, get the group where everybody wins the competitions and we can, you know, steamroll from there. This would be, like you said, Matt, this would be the perfect time to introduce not having the HOH play the veto, because then there is a bigger chance that the minority house guest might be able to, like the people in the minority, not just the minorities.
But, you know, sometimes it's the same difference. Yeah.
They'll get a chance at the veto. So I didn't think about that until you brought that up. And I think that's a really good thing to implement for US Big Brother.
Yeah, especially because it doesn't seem like U.S. players care anymore about big competition threats. They're like, that's great. Let's keep them in. Like,
we need them.
They should have done is started this twist on Christmas's HOH week and said from this point on in the game, the HOH is not going to be in the veto.
We're going to jump into our listener questions from tonight here in just one moment. But first, let me thank our other sponsor for tonight's episode of the podcast. Those are our friends over at Podcast Movement Virtual. And the first lady of podcasting has to spend time with our children if she goes back downstairs. So she's still here.
I'm not leaving.
Yeah. Nicole, this is great. I love having you here for this. Podcast Movement Virtual. Remember when I used to go to conferences and leave you alone here for days at a time? You hate that, right?
I'm not really fond of it.
Used to go to the Podcast Movement, but guess what? This year it's different. Podcast Movement Virtual. This is great news for you.
Yeah, I would go in my car and sit in my car and watch it.
All right. Well, we're not talking about that right now, Nicole. You don't have to leave this year to visit Podcast Movement.
If you want to get away from your kids, just go in the car.
Sure. But if you want to learn about podcasting, or if you are a person who has a podcast, wants to take it to the next level, Podcast Movement Virtual is the biggest event in podcasting, October 19th to the 29th of this year, world's largest ever virtual conference for podcasters. I was at the very first one back in 2014, and this year you could be a part of it without even having to leave your home. Head on over to podcastmovement.com. Check out all of the speakers and tracks that are available to see. I learned so many different things in my time at the Podcast Movement. I was there last year, went to a bunch of different sessions there.
They've got puppies.
Yes. That was on the trade floor. And they've got tracks about whatever you want to know about podcasting, that there is a course there that is being taught or a speaker who knows about it at Podcast Movement. Whether you are somebody who's looking to start a podcast or somebody that already has a podcast, you can go ahead and learn so much more by heading over to podcastmovement.com and getting set up to attend Podcast Movement Virtual. You can save $50 with the promo code ROB when you sign up. That's $50 off your registration for Podcast Movement Virtual October 19th to October 29th at podcastmovement.com. All right, Nicole, we got to get back to the show.
I'm not going back.
Let's take some questions from our listeners tonight about everything that's going on. And let's go to Kelly Lynch, who's here. Hi, Kelly. How many house guests do you think knew the Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band reference? Okay. How many house guests do you think know the Beatles?
See, I know that album, but which t-shirt was that?
That was in the example. That was key. That was Keisha and Keisha Nana. Sergeant Keisha's Lonely Ian Hearts Band.
Which is just terrible.
It is also terrible.
It's just supplementing.
And I love wordplay. And this was garbage.
We got half the crew working from home. All right. We gotta give them a little bit of grace here.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Gross.
Look, I don't even think you need to know, the Beatles to understand any of these references. Because, like, I knew the Beatles and Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. And I was just like,
still didn't get it.
Speaking of terrible wordplay.
But I did save my new friend, Mulan.
Mulan, cow, come on.
Hello, Pablo, number three, right? Are we on Pablo three at this point? Okay, Tyler. Okay.
All right. Let's see from Socialist Revolution has been following the podcast. No one has mentioned going after David after this eviction. Could David make it past the triple eviction and end up coasting to the final two? Boy.
I'd love to see it. I'll give you that.
I'd love to see it. Yeah.
It's a big possibility. Because I think Tyler wants to keep David in there as long as possible. Mm-hmm. If Tyler wants to keep Christmas and David in there as long as possible, once you get to the final four, the final three, anything can happen. I mean, he would need to win, of course, but I mean, it's any given Sunday after that. Yeah. So,
hear me out, though. Okay, the best part of David getting to the final two, bitter jury, and winning will be when Melissa has to apologize to David for her infamous letter where she apologized to everybody saying that David was a good player and he's a bad player.
Melissa will have to apologize again
that she said David was a bad player.
Am I correct, Melissa, that if David's the next one out after Kevin, don't you get $100 coming your way?
I do.
Can you explain that? So
So yeah, that's another thing to look forward to this season is Taryn paying me.
So what was the bet?
Well, I just said, here's the order that the people are going to go out. And you can see it on my Twitter. I retweeted a video of it. But basically, I told Taryn, I said, look, or Ambrent, I said, what's to stop this from happening? Like, that the order of people leaving is going to be, and I just listed out literally everyone who's left.
Did you have a boot list for the season? You had spoilers?
Apparently I did.
Yeah.
I was like almost spot on. There were a few misplacements of people, but they all have left. The last two remaining to be Kevin and David. I know. I've got the music, the ability. So yeah, I predicted it, and Taryn was like, "That's not happening." He's like, "I will bet money that that is not going to happen." And I was like, "Why?"
And we are one eviction away from that coming true.
We are literally one eviction away. And the one thing that might throw a wrench in the plan really is that it's a triple eviction. So it could really
just
change it up.
David goes out at the second or the last part of the triple eviction. You don't get money.
Well, I guess it depends. If it's a Big Brother Canada style where they go out at the same time, then I would still get it. I say.
But what if Julie says the other person's name first?
Oh, that's a tough one. I guess maybe who walked out of the house first.
Okay, so you need David. Okay. David to go out first.
Kevin and David to go out this tomorrow. Yeah. And then I get money. So. Okay.
Didn't somebody...
Karen, get your wallet out.
Didn't they already confirm it's going to be like a double-double instead of a regular BB can triple?
I don't know. Did you see that confirmed somewhere?
I didn't see any confirmation, but it's possible.
Melissa, wait. Sorry. Final question. What would you do if he somehow finds a way to give you $100 from his Stockwatch bank and put it into your wallet? And that's what he was talking about the whole time when you accept that.
Oh.
That is semantics, and I will not accept it.
Not at all.
I will not. We'll play the tapes. He never said Stockwatch money. And every time we talk about Stockwatch, he clarifies, this is not real money. This is not anything important.
Well, legally, blah, blah, blah. He has to say that. Yeah.
That's a disclaimer for Stockwatch.
Sean Little says, Nicole definitely threw that right and is just continuing to lie in the diary room. I think that this was a definite throw from Nicole.
It
just looks so bad. Like Rob said, she was literally at the top there. And then she was just like rolling around and laughing. So I don't know. It looked like a throw to me.
Yeah.
Why?
Okay. I think it was a throw. All right.
And we've seen that Nicole has lied to us in the diary room multiple times this season. So I don't trust.
I hate lying.
Yeah.
It's lying.
Okay. Kobe Valentine says, how long was Nicole struggling to get up the ramp while Cody was searching? Just as long as it needed for Cody to find the right t-shirt.
Right.
It was a miracle that she was able to finally do it. Every other round she was able to get up. Every other round that Kevin was in there, no problem getting up there. But then when Cody would have been eliminated from the veto, like, oh, I can't do it anymore. Okay. Paul Wright wants to say, tomorrow we'll be down to 6 with 27 to go. Normally this happens with 20 days left. So battle back or no? Seems like that they want to load up the jury to bring one back. And otherwise doesn't make COVID sense to have so many comps tomorrow. So let's talk this through one more time. Is it possible that we're doing a triple eviction, but we'll bring somebody back?
I don't see it, right? Like, then you'd have to do it, I guess the latest would be next to Thursday that they would have to have this battle back competition. I think, you know, the COVID concern would be traveling these people in and out from like a place where they were contained to a place where, they might be going to a jury house where they are as well, but still you're probably, you know, they're being exposed to people. I think just with the details of it all, it doesn't make sense for them to do that.
Yeah.
And sorry, I just had a question. Do they show the goodbye messages when there's a battle back for the jury?
We'd have to go back
to the question.
Now I'm like doubting everything now that you mention it.
We'd have to go back and look and see when Scotty got knocked out in Big Brother 20 and to see the last time that we could see that. But yeah, three people are going out tomorrow. I guess we'll see ultimately if they do anything. And they could also, the other opportunity is they could do some sort of like a reset week a la, like they'd love to copy things from Big Brother 16. They could do a week where nobody goes home for some reason.
The reset.
Okay. Yeah.
Tyler versus David on the block. They decide they want to send Tyler home for once and for all. And production.
They're like, no, no, no.
Tyler, you will not leave this house under our watch. No way.
Mm-hmm. Tyler's like, no, I just want to go.
Okay. Right. Another question. This is from Noah. So Tyler got to play in the veto and voice OTEV?
Production favorite.
with the host of the competition. Let me see. All right. Was this Tyler hosting the veto?
Salutations and hello, fellow Earth beings. My name is Otev, the psychedelic salamander.
Speaking of psychedelic, I thought that I had taken acid and I'm watching this episode when they did those wacky transitions in between.
I love those.
That was so weird.
It's copying those old Laughing or whatever.
Like
those
Austin
old
Powers.
Shows where they're like, yeah. You know, they got the dance little breaks in between.
Right.
I loved it.
That was crazy. It's freaking me out.
Okay. Like the closest they're gonna get to like cast pictures for this season, like backyard pictures, if they like screenshot them in the inner tubes and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. Just like, hey.
Yeah. Okay. This is from Tara Renee, the great Tara Renee. Is Christmas getting a good edit? I was sad that we didn't get to see more angry Christmas. You were shocked.
I'm just flabbergasted.
Yeah. I don't know. Is Christmas getting a good edit, Mari?
Not from my eyes. I'm sorry. Spoiler alert. I don't like Christmas. So I don't know if y'all could tell from this whole podcast. I don't think she's getting a good edit. I think she's just getting an edit where they're trying to make something happen. So they're trying to show some sort of friction. So that's all I see. I don't see any good in it, but that could just be me.
I will say that I think it was last episode was pretty good for her, where it was like, it seemed like she was the one person like figuring things out and really like, just like for whatever reason, being able to tell like exactly the pieces on the game board or whatever, probably just like editing that way. But it did make her seem like, okay, Christmas has got this figured out. Like she's going to do something about this. And now this week it's like, oh wow, she's figured out they want to backdoor her. Like she's figuring out how to get around it and she's saving herself or whatever. And I think it does give her a good like strategic edit. Mm-hmm. I do think they're letting her, you know, become like angry Christmas or whatever and kind of like showing that side of her. But I also think they are giving her a good edit in terms of like the strategy and, you know, intelligence or whatever.
So I think we have to look to the Zingbot to think about like what is production trying to do with Christmas? And if you go back to the Zingbot Zing, it was like, what's the difference between Christmas and the holiday season? One is cold, annoying and stressful, and the other is the holiday season. So I do think that they are not giving her a good edit if we're gonna like ultimately weigh it out, because I think they are trying to go for like a kind of hothead that's gonna go off at any moment.
Emotional.
Yeah, and I mean, as far as it goes with like figuring out the game board, like what is there to figure out? You're in the game board. You're with all of the main alliance. I mean,
yeah,
right.
You know, what else there is to figure out?
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. This is from Otev. Will we see Dr. Will during the triple eviction? Hashtag no. Where's Will though? All right. So Melissa, that from, you know, this clue that they got, that at least there's going to be one more Dr. Will video that gets played, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I do think that there will be that video giving them a clue. Maybe there will be a video of him saying like, I warned you guys or whatever, right before the triple eviction, but you know, nothing substantial at this point, unfortunately. I kind of was hoping for, I was hoping that it might've been a situation where, you know, I knew that the first segment was pre-taped, obviously, but I was kind of hoping that maybe if they were going to really play it off, like, oh, this is the neighbor's house, they could have Will far enough away from the house guests, but still like be able to talk to them during like either hosting a competition or whatever.
Like the people that yell over the wall.
Yeah.
They're like a wall yeller, essentially. You know, and so I kind of was hoping that he'd be able to give them like a piece of his mind or maybe a piece of the audience's mind or just kind of like say something, because he, you know, has a lot to say over Twitter and Instagram and all that. So it would have been nice to kind of see that. And it doesn't really seem like we're going to get it.
Yeah.
I'll see them at the Zoom roundtable.
Exactly.
Matt, but this was so stupid the way that they handled all this with Dr. Will, because that they teased, hey, we've got a big surprise coming, but they didn't say who it was. And so people probably were like, okay, well, whatever. And then you had Dr. Will, but they didn't promote that they had Dr. Will. So they didn't really even maximize that they had him, that they could have just told the audience, like, on Thursday night, tune in to see Dr. Will. Like, people will be like, oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, everybody go, like, when we're done here, call a casual that you know, find out if they even remember that there was a Big Brother legend in the house this week. If they can get the name, bonus points. If they can describe anything that happened with this person, even more bonus points. But I feel like it's unlikely that that's going to leave any lasting impressions. I think we'll be lucky if we remember next season that Dr. Will was a part of this season in any way other than his usual spot there at the end.
Okay.
All my casual friends stop watching. So
yeah.
They won't even watch so they can watch me on this podcast. So,
oh no.
Well, could they just listen to the podcast?
That's what I said.
Yeah.
That's how little they care.
All right. Let's do from Patricia. Please explain why all the guys except for Tyler want Nicole F to stay. Is it because they think they can beat her since she has won before?
Because she gives in to every plan that they have every time that they want to do something. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's another one of Nicole's people or her friends. And they're like, she's like, okay, I don't think that's a good idea. That's not what I want, but okay. Mm-hmm. You say so.
Yeah. Okay. This is from Mike Edwards. Does the chip really have to still say Nicole F? Yeah. Look, they're not going to make more.
Right.
That's it. That's it. Yo.
You think they care enough to make another one? No.
I don't think so. Okay. Let's see. We got here's Bill and Ted. OTEV was throwing out terms like bogus and most righteous during the veto. Are the BB producers big fans of Bill and Ted? Bill and Ted did come back this season.
Yeah, maybe it's press promotion.
Bill and Ted are the Janelle and Kacer of cinema. They came back after a long layoff.
And we don't get any more cross promotions on Big Brother like we used to, man. Going back and watching the old seasons and seeing all the old movies that they watch is still hilarious.
And they're always bad movies too. Yeah. They always have to find nice things to say about it. They're like, oh, I love the costumes.
Oh yeah, when they said these commercials. Yeah. So all right. Should we talk about spoilers?
Yep.
Are there spoilers to talk about?
Should we, Mari?
I want to dance to the spoilers.
All right. That's it.
Okay. She's like, I don't want to talk about spoilers. I just want to dance.
All right. So tomorrow night, don't forget, 2-hour Big Brother tomorrow night at a special time. We will be live at 10:15 p.m. Eastern time to talk about 2 hours, Triple Eviction live. We've got a jam-packed panel. We'll break it all down right after the episode. I predict will be the biggest live audience we've ever had for an episode of Rob's podcast tomorrow night, live 10:15 p.m. Eastern time. But until then, let's talk about our spoilers.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler.
Warning.
A spoiler.
Warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
Okay. All right.
I think it's so funny that everyone is convinced that that spoiler voice is me. And to me, it sounds literally nothing like me.
Should we listen to it again? Let's see. People think that this,
all right,
people think this, people think this is Melissa. Let's listen to it. Pretty here, Melissa.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler.
Warning.
A spoiler.
Warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
Yeah, I could hear it, spoiler. But that
sounds robotic.
That song, yeah, it's not Taryn either. That song predates Melissa being on Rob as a podcast.
I remember, when I first started, and I was so excited to do the spoiler dance. I was okay, we're dancing.
I mean, it could have been re-recorded once she joined the team.
But kudos to Ryan Elder, who was the composer of the spoiler song.
It's so good.
Yes.
It's very good.
Still works. Okay. All right. So what's the latest? Kevin's still going home. I'm going to lose my first draft pick from the draft. I took Kevin at number 3 overall.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Oh.
Yikes.
Yeah, he's lasted a while. What's going on? Kevin's going home. You know, not much has changed on that front. Since, I guess, the last episode, we've had the situation where all of the house guests are aware that there's something funky going on this week. that multiple house guests might be exiting at one point or another. They don't know the exact details of it. They thought there was going to be an eviction last night. Of course, there wasn't. Mm-hmm. They might still think there's going to be one tonight. They're like terrified that Julie's going to pop on the screen at any moment. But not the case. It's obviously tomorrow. They're going to have a couple of extra people go, but they're not going to be too surprised about it.
Okay.
Yeah. Dr. Wills said, oh, we got to get a few of you out of here. Everybody got scared. So they're now planning ahead. And from what Taryn said this morning, it looks like Tyler may be in a little bit of trouble, from what I understand.
Go on.
Go on.
Yes.
Well, it looks like Enzo. So Cody was talking to Enzo and they were talking about the double and maybe whatever they think after that. And they were initially thinking about maybe having the other side target Memphis. But when spoke to Memphis and Memphis was like, he really wants to get out David and Danny, then they said, oh, well, maybe we should not let them target Memphis. Maybe we should point them towards Tyler. And even Enzo was talking about how he was okay with Tyler going yesterday. So Taryn and Maggie were talking about it this morning, that it seems like Tyler might be in a little bit of hot water so far and he doesn't know it.
Oh my God.
You would hate to see it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I hate to see it.
Yeah.
And Danny as well, right, Melissa? Danny might know that she's in hot water as well.
Yeah. Yeah, but Danny is definitely in hot water. I mean, honestly, if I have to predict right now who I think goes home in the triple, I would say, I mean, we know Kevin's going, or at least, I mean, that at this
point. Kevin is not part one. Yeah.
Leaving. And then I think Danny goes, and I think, I kind of feel like I could see Christmas going, just but I think we have to go with Taryn's, you know, spreadsheet of things, because in my mind, I'm not quite at that level where I'm like, okay, if this person wins HOH, then these people will be the people on the block. I'm kind of just like, okay, who is like more likely to go home than other people?
Yeah, and you can listen to the LFC roundtable for the full breakdown of that.
The full breakdown of percentages and everything, very detailed.
But let's hear some predictions. Let's hear two names.
I think
first name, second name.
Danny for sure.
Yeah.
I want to say Christmas, but I could absolutely see Christmas like winning a veto or winning something. Maybe Tyler. This is hard. It's hard. I can pick the Danny one right away. I mean, I could also see David going just because it's an easy thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Danny Memphis. Mm. Maybe it's wishful thinking. I'm sure it is. But there are people that have had his name around, you know, floating around. Enzo, he might have come around a little bit, Enzo, on his first plan of wanting Memphis gone. But Tyler, we know, and Memphis have never been best friends. They had that issue with, like, Tyler winning the veto on Memphis's week. Tyler, weeks back, was talking about how Memphis isn't, like, his favorite person in the game. And Nicole talked about, you know, taking Memphis out. Danny might not be against it. So I don't know. I don't know that it's, you know, at the top of the list of guarantees, but I'm going to put that energy out there. Memphis going home.
Okay.
I think I agree with Melissa. Definitely Danny, but I think it will be David as well, because I think what might happen is they may aim for Tyler, but I mean, what is that, four competitions? If we think it's going to be the whole Kevin goes, HOH veto, one person goes, and then HOH veto, one person goes.
Right.
That's four competitions that Tyler has to, like, not win one of them. That seems like I don't think that's going to happen. So I think they might, and even if they swing at Tyler, I think they might miss. So I think David might end up going as, like we said, an easy option. I think it'll be Danny is the big move for this, for like a double. They'll think Danny's the big move. And then it's like, if they, oh, it's a triple now, then they'll be like, okay, well, David. So,
okay. I'll put a wrinkle on it. I'll say David, Danny, and that Danny ends up maybe winning the veto in the first part. Get a little intrigue of, can she survive the night after she ends up on the block? She realizes what's up, but maybe can't get so lucky in the second vote. So maybe what if David goes first in the triple eviction Okay.
Yeah. The 2 hours of trying to get out Danny. That'll be the storyline of the night.
Okay. Oh, look, can they do it?
Can do it.
Can they do it? And then it'll be over. Then we'll see. And we'll go on to something else then after that. Yep. All right.
Yeah.
Mari, you said there was something else that you wanted to potentially talk about earlier in the show about Kevin.
I'm like looking at my
notes. All right. Well, let me take another question. This is from Abby with Kevin. Will Kevin carry the blanket out with him? And will he try to get them to use the blanket as his face mask? Does Kevin have a whoopee?
Walks around with the blanket. He's just living his life, and people like to talk about his blanket a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably chilly in there. That would probably be.
Yeah, I probably would.
Yeah, I'd be snuggled up.
Blanket, no, it cannot be used as a mask. The mask has still got to go on, and I don't think Julie's going to take a blanket instead, but I'm sure he'll get gifted it in the box that gets sent back to his house in a couple months.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, spoilers, there's no spoilers. I mean, they haven't really done
slow
anything.
Week.
Yeah, I mean, minus finding out that there might be multiple people going and the little scramble fest. I think they were saying, I like how Danny went up to David and was like, oh, I'm sorry, I had to put you on the block or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, we're cool now. And Dave's like, yeah, sure. Her awkward conversation with Tyler. Like, Danny is just scrambling right now. And it's just really sad to look at.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going very well. But she does know, at least she does feel that she is going a little bit. She feels the pressure. She feels like nobody's talking to her. She's realizing that, like, that maybe she had voted out all the wrong people. So she is trying to do something, but what she's trying to do is kind of just awkward.
Yeah. Now, I know it's been talked about a lot, Melissa. I know you were worked up last night about the, did production ruin the triple eviction? But I don't know how they're going to necessarily structure this 2 hour episode, but it is very possible that we end up getting a, 20 minutes or so of the house guests reacting to this triple eviction news. And that we end up getting like a bunch of story segments that happen before, as opposed to like where there are things that happen and we just like miss all of it. Like it may be part of the episode tomorrow night.
Yeah. I mean, I was worked up about it at the opening of the roundtable, but I do feel like Taryn made some good points about it and kind of like talked me off the ledge on that one, just because like I was really upset because I was thinking, I love the seeing the reaction on the night and having people, make moves that maybe they wouldn't have made otherwise, because now all of a sudden it's a triple eviction. They didn't think about this. But Taryn did make a good point that, when was the last time you used? He always does, doesn't he? It's sickening. but like, it's like, when was the last time you saw someone actually make a shocking move that they didn't already think in their head on one of these nights? And even so, if they have made a shocking move, when was that shocking move something good? You know what I mean? Like you said, people are more likely to take the safe route if they don't have time to plan. So I do think that like, with them kind of planning it out, maybe we have the option to see something more exciting than if like all of a sudden it sprung on them and they're like, I guess David, so mm-hmm. That's the hope. So I'm okay about it. I obviously do think that like in terms of television drama, for production's sake, they probably shouldn't have told them so that way they could get the shocked faces and get the reactions they're looking for. But, whatever. We have some amazing actors on this cast and they're going to do a great job of faking the surprise. So, okay. That's fine.
All right. Anything else heading into the triple eviction? All right.
I'm just excited to see it.
I'm ready for it. When they announce it.
Get your popcorn.
Like, let's do this.
Yes.
I feel like normally when I go into a double eviction or even a triple in Big Brother Canada, I'm always like so nervous because I'm like, there are certain people that I don't want to go and there are certain outcomes I don't want to see. In this situation, like, I'm honestly okay with anything. Yeah, like so.
Take
I'm going
you
in
want.
Calm, cool, and collected. Just excited to see something crazy.
How about this?
So we'll see.
Melissa, what's the worst case scenario tomorrow night?
None.
There's none.
I mean, I really don't have a worst case scenario. I just feel like anyone could go and I'm fine with it. And like, that's great. So I feel much better going into this triple eviction. There's no, you know, nerves. There's no worriedness. Like, I just feel like I'm just going in there. Just like, yeah, it's going to be fun.
Whatever happens, happens. Yeah. Roll the dice.
I mean, obviously, worst case scenario would be person wins HOH and then wins veto and everything stays the same. And then that person goes home. Then person wins HOH and that person wins veto.
Sure.
Or, and it's there's no like, drama. That's what he's like. Or actually, you know what? I do have a worst case scenario. Worst case scenario is if it's a triple, like the way Big Brother Canada does it. Mm. I think that would be worst case scenario. I really hope they do a double and then a double instead of the triple like Big Brother Canada, because that is.
Well, I don't know how they'd fill all the time if they did it the Canada way.
Right. But maybe that's why they're creating a segment on them finding out, and you're going to have just like a normal episode and then all of a sudden at the end.
Small technical reason as to why it may be the way that we want it to be and not the BB Can way. They do have two chairs. It's not one of those couches that the nominees sit on. I don't know where the third nominee would sit if they had to have three nominees sitting there together. Unless they're going to insert a chair in the middle of the day, maybe it has to be the two.
Mm-hmm. Mario, I heard you ask, what's the best case scenario? I don't know. What do you think? That I know that the Taryn said that it's almost mathematically impossible for Cody to go out.
Right. Well, I mean, that would be the most shocking thing to me. The most shocking thing to me would be watching Cody walk out the door. The best case scenario for me personally would be Christmas in Memphis.
Yeah. But, would that change the dynamics in the house of Christmas in Memphis? Or would it just be then would Tyler and Enzo and Cody be sort of like and Christmas be then the dominant force in the house? Or then Cody and Christmas aren't really on the same page?
Cody and Nicole and Danny, because if Memphis say if
Nicole, I'm sorry, Chris, if Kevin, sorry, Christmas in Memphis is gone. Yeah.
Yeah. So if Kevin, Christmas and Memphis are gone, then we have Cody, Enzo, Tyler, David, Nicole, Danny. Now that could get really interesting.
Okay.
I think that if Cody and Memphis leave, I do think that that kind of opens up the game board a little bit. Although maybe because I do feel like, you know, Cody's got his connections, but if you take him out of that, then those connections, like, who do they go to? Same with Memphis. Like, Memphis has connections, but if you take Memphis out, where do they go to? So it would be the most interesting thing to happen to have both those two guys go.
But who's gunning for Memphis if David wins HOH?
David, Nicole, potentially. Yeah. Okay. Danny, maybe. Danny does want Christmas out, but like Memphis and Christmas would be like the ideal nominations to ensure that Christmas goes. And then Tyler, maybe a slim possibility that Memphis ends up on the block. I mean, he is going for Danny and Nicole, so unlikely, but I still, you know, I'm not counting it out completely. To me, it's those four names that we talked about at the beginning of this podcast. Get one of those out, and I think the game opens up a little bit, but until one of those four guys are out, I feel like we're kind of stuck in the same loop. They're all just clinging so tight to each other and they won't let go.
Okay. Yeah. All right. We'll see you on Thursday.
I do have one more question.
Yes.
What competitions do you think we'll see? We normally always get like a clown shoe moment.
I'm about to say clown. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it will be hard in terms of like the COVID situation of like, will the, like, I feel like that definitely questions will be part of it. And will we see sort of like the backyard partitioned where we have like, will we have like maybe like one sort of theme in the backyard and then like one area for one comp with like a question area and then another thing that was is already set up?
Yeah,
I can't remember the exact competition that this was for. It was in Celebrity Big Brother, the second one with Lolo and Tamar and all them. I feel like there was a competition set that they used twice in the same night. I don't remember the details of what it was for, but they used it and then they used it again. You know what it was? It was the fact that they had a they threw in like a safety thing, like you could win safety for the round, and then Tamar won that, and then we still had another competition. They used the same booths. I feel like we're going to get something like that, where it's just you can use the same setup and just do something different in the same spot. It's, you know, they can make it happen.
It was something with them hanging. Was there like a hanging on to the Oscar one? And then that, it was also,
I think that was early in the game.
That was really early. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I mean, in opening night, we had the table maces and the little running thing all in the same backyard spot. So, I mean, They'll figure it out, I guess.
Okay. So. Let's talk about what's coming up. Hey, look, it's a Purple Pants podcast is back. Check out what Bryce has to say on the latest edition, Advice with Bryce. Bryce is watching a Paris Hilton documentary. Hear what Bryce has going on over on the Purple Pants podcast. News AF back again with Tyson and Danny. Talking about influencers taking pictures in fake private jets. Mm-hmm. Check that out and much more on the latest News AF. Okay. And then over on our 90 Day Fiance Rahap, check out what Puya has going on here on Happily Ever After, the latest bunch of cast of characters from the world of 90 Day Fiance. Mara, you've been on the 90 Day Fiance Rahap up recently.
Yes, I had such a great time with Puya. I'm behind on the finale. I have to watch that and the tell-all. So I'm excited to hear what he has to say.
I'm about to be on that one next week.
Oh, okay.
Nice.
That's the plan. So yeah, for one of the reunion ones, I'm going to do one of those. So
okay.
Messy.
All right. Well, Puya is a busy guy because he's also going to be on the Love Island recap of season 2, week 6, part 2. Is he going to recap the finale?
Yeah, that's what it looks like.
Boom. Yeah. Bringing out the big guns, the heavy hitters to talk about the finale of Love Island. It's the finale with Scally and Kirsten. Check it out on our Love Island Rahap Up feed. Of course, check out the LFC Roundtable. Of course, Taryn, Brent, and Melissa got back together and talked about it all last night. Still a great listen. Check that out on the LFC Roundtable. And then check out Taryn's live feed update. He's getting you ready for the triple eviction tomorrow morning. Last chance to hear the table set for Thursday night's triple eviction tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Eastern. And then Kevin has a surprise phase. Uh-oh. Yep. The triple eviction. Kevin's fate is pretty much sealed, but there's so much more that we'll have to unpack tomorrow night. It'll be a jam-packed panel. Taryn, Brent, Kirsten McInnes and Phil Thompson will join us for our triple eviction wire-to-wire recap on Thursday night. Be sure to join us live 10:15 p.m. Eastern time. Of course, it's the end of the month of September. Of course, tomorrow being the first day of a new month and a great time to jump in on our Patreon program, robiswebsite.com/patron. Get in on our patron Facebook community. We've got a Discord server, patron podcast feed, and more. This Friday, I'll be doing our monthly patron cast where I'll be taking hours of calls from our patrons over on Friday. And then I will get the triple eviction started on with our pregame show, 7 p.m. Eastern. A great day to jump in on Thursday. Get in live. We'll take your calls 1 hour before the start of the triple eviction for the patrons of Robin's Podcast on the Big Brother Eviction Night pre-game show. That's going to be on Thursday night. And then, of course, you can follow us on social media. We share a bunch of clips from the episodes. Twitter, at Rob's a Podcast, at RJP Grams on Instagram or on Facebook. Rob has a podcast. And of course, now a lot of people may not be following this very closely, but we have a big election coming up. It's coming up in a little over 1 month. Rob is a podcast strongly considers all Americans who are of age to vote and participate in our democracy. To find out more about getting registered to vote, start thinking about this, people. It's November 3rd. It's right around the corner. Head on over to vote.gov. Melissa, I know this weekend you're going to be on a panel that's coming. And Mari, you too, correct? Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What are you two up to?
Yeah, we're going to be discussing women and reality TV and what the deal is with that. And then also we're going to have a text bank party and everyone's going to join in to encourage people to vote.
Yep.
And just kind of get the word out there on that. And so it should be really good. There's going to be a great panel. And we're just going to talk about everything. It should be kind of casual and people can ask questions or bring up points that they're interested in regards to like what it's like to be a woman on reality TV or, you know, that sort of thing.
Yep. We were really lucky that Supermajority reached out to us to participate in this panel. So I can't wait to talk reality TV, talk women in reality TV with all of the fans, everybody who signs up. And then can't wait to then get out the vote with everybody with the text banking session, because I definitely wanted to do something to get out the vote for this election. And so when they approached me, I was like, oh, perfect. I can do that. I can sit down and talk. That's easy.
Yeah. So if you're interested, just we've all tweeted out the link so you can go check out our Twitters, but you have to go and register for it so that they can send you the information and the Zoom link and stuff.
Yep.
And so, yeah, I still need to do that. But
yeah, I'll retweet mine tonight.
I'll retweet it as well. And we can figure that out.
Saturday.
That is this Saturday.
At 5 p.m.
Yeah. Eastern. So I
Eastern. 3 p.m.
Or 2 p.m. PST, whatever it is, my time. But I also believe I'm going to be watching the episode tomorrow night live with Alex Kidwell. So that should be fun. Should be a good time. I've not ever like live streamed while watching, so it should be very interesting because you'll get to see how I literally just stand and pace around the room like, oh my God, you got to win the competition.
You're going to walk away from the computer?
I don't mean to do it, but I like, if I'm stressed out, I like get up and I pace and I'm like, okay. So it could be good, could also be really bad. So we shall.
Melissa's going to have the squeaky toy herself this time.
Guys, all right. Mari, where can people keep up with everything you're up to?
Yep. You can find me on Twitter at Mari Talks Too Much. That's two, like the number two. I'll just be there. I won't be talking about Big Brother.
What do you normally talk about? Wrestling? The Ravens?
Wrestling, the Ravens when they're not losing.
The Challenge?
The Challenge, yes. I can't wait for The Bachelor. Can't wait for Amazing Race. So, Masked Singer sometimes, but not too often. I really don't watch the shows. I just like to watch when they reveal the people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I have no patience.
Yes.
But yeah, just all reality TV, basically. I love reality TV. Definitely this vote stuff, everything that's voting with this November and all that. So just a little bit of everything.
And where can people find all that?
At Mari Talks Too Much at Twitter. Two, like the number two.
Okay. All right. Mari, great to have you back, of course.
Thank you, guys.
Matt, what are you up to?
What am I up to? How do I follow all of the great things that are going on with Melissa and Mari? Watch Glee, everybody. Amanda and I are still doing our podcast, The Choir Room. If you want to check that out on all places, you can find podcasts. If you used to be a fan of Glee or if you want to rewatch it on Netflix, go ahead. And we're having a fun time with that. You know, 2020 is not the best year by any means, but we've made it a good time with all that. So there's that. I can't wait for tomorrow night. I really, 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 really can't wait to see some of these people get out of the house and move on in this season. So I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah.
And at Matt Ligori on Twitter, I'll be tweeting my excitement tomorrow night, no matter what happens.
Okay. Be sure to follow Matt as well. By the way, triple exit interview coming up on Friday. We'll have four questions for each of the three people. Okay.
Nice.
So be on the lookout for that to drop in your podcast feed on Friday, probably Friday afternoon. All right. And of course, Melissa Denny. Melissa, what else are you up to, Melissa?
I am almost finished editing the next Drunk History episode, so it should be good. I just need to put the the music in there, the classic Big Brother tune. Nice. So we shall see. It should be kind of funny, probably more embarrassing than anything, but you know, it should be good.
Melissa, what will you spend the $100 on if you win the bet from Taryn? Have you thought about that?
More wine for Drunk History?
Okay.
I'm just kidding. I don't know.
All right.
I'll have to figure that one out.
Have to see. A lot of
ideas.
A lot of intrigue going into tomorrow night. All right. Well, everybody, thank you so much for joining us. This is a fun podcast tonight. We'll be live with the biggest night of the Big Brother season tomorrow. Can't wait for the triple eviction. Thanks so much to Scott St. Pierre behind the scenes. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
Bye-bye.